Hi, I'm Drew Mandel. 2020 has been a bad enough year. The only thing that could make it worse is a tragic accident involving a sharp blade and your sensitive area. Precautions are necessary to keep your nether regions safe, and our friends at Manscaped have an entire line of products to keep your sensitive areas tragedy-free. Take it from us at Illegal Curve. One circumcision is enough for a lifetime. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with promo code ILLCURVE. That's manscaped.com, 20% off, free shipping with promo code ILLCURVE. That's manscaped.com, proud sponsor of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast,
on TSN1290.ca.
Intercepted! Chance for Trenton Press, they score! On the turnover, Kyle Turris finishes it after Yakov Trenton intercepts the pass, and the Predators have the 1-0 lead.
Hey, I know that guy. Dennis Bayak with the call.
Sounds familiar.
Kyle Turris scoring against the Winnipeg Jets. It was a 1-0 Predators victory against the Jets back in January. Turris scored the only goal in the game. He didn't score that many goals for the Nashville Predators, certainly fewer than they thought when they signed him to that big contract, and now he's rumored to be a potential buyout candidate between yesterday, the opening of the buyout window, and October 8th, the day before NHL free agency begins. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live here on TSN Radio 1290. This segment of the show brought to you by Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtors of Illegal Curve Hockey. We've been talking about Frank and Mauro for many years on this program. As we mentioned a couple weeks ago, they were selling my condo. How about this? Condo went on the market on a Friday. It was sold 2 days later on a Sunday with three offers at full asking price. That's Frank and Mauro Zappia for you right there, guys. They do a great job. I can't recommend them highly enough. They sold my condo. They can sell your house. They can sell your condo. They can
the market
you.
Is hot, Drew.
They can help you. They can help you buy something. Whatever you need them to do, they can help you out with it. Get in touch with them online at zappiagroup.com. Come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia.
After the Zappias sold your condo, did you get to have a little pizza pie or maybe a cappuccino with the boys?
No, I didn't. But I can do that basically anytime I want. I'll just go and pop in and say, hey, I'm here for my cappuccino or my espresso.
As you guys know, Frank often posts just the most delicious-looking food.
Yes.
Like, he posts these pizzas where I actually just want to jump through my computer screen and eat the pizza.
How's that going for you?
He's ruined many computers this way.
I was going to say, have you had any pizza yet, and how many computers have you gone through at this point in time?
We have had pizza with the boys, though.
Yes, I know, but yeah. I mean, you've never actually jumped through a computer screen.
No, I've never actually tried that. But what I'm trying to say, though, is the pizzas look that good. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to cook a
pizza. He knows his way around the kitchen.
He knows how to make a good pizza, and he knows how to sell a good condo, and that's what Frank did for me. So big props to them. Tremendous experience working with the guys, so get in touch with them. They're online at Zappia Group.
And now you have 10 more condos that you need to sell.
Well,
own many condos. You're the condo king.
It's hard being a real estate magnate. What can I tell you? Let's talk about the potential buyout candidates. You know that this next 2 week period, there's going to be some guys. We saw Bobby Ryan get bought out in Ottawa yesterday. Do you think the Jets, there's sort of the top candidates that are potentially going to be bought out? Kyle Turris is certainly on that list. A guy like James Neal is on that list. Zach Smith in the Chicago Blackhawks is on that list. Brendan Smith of the Rangers is on that list of guys that may get bought out or suspected that they may be buyout candidates.
This isn't exactly the creme de la creme here.
Well, do you think the Jets are going to have any interest in you saw what the Tampa Bay Lightning did. They got Kevin Shattenkirk. He was bought out by the
Rangers.
None
of those guys are Kevin Shattenkirk.
I know, but, I'm saying you can maybe, for a reclamation project, on a one-year contract, that's all I'm talking about. You take a flyer on a guy for a one-year deal, maybe he can come in and fill a gap, or he can be a bridge to a player who needs another year of seasoning at the AHL level or overseas in Europe. Do you think the Jets would have any interest in any of those guys?
Well, and, Murat wrote the article for The Athletic, and I definitely... you know, I'll say this much. I mean, if you can get the right player, I don't think any of those guys are the right player. Like, all due respect to Zach Smith, like, Zach Smith is a fourth-line guy. You know, maybe he could play a third-line role, but I don't think that's what the Jets need right now. Kyle Turris was a healthy scratch in Nashville. Like, I mean, you guys might, you know, disagree, but to me, like, Kyle Turris is not the answer for the Jets at the second-line center. Why? Well, he wasn't the answer for the Nashville Predators, right? Like, they went out and they acquired Matt Duchene, and Turris was a winger, and then he was dropped down, right, Dave? Mm-hmm. So, like, Kyle Turris doesn't excite me. And I'm not saying Kyle Turris isn't a good hockey player, and he doesn't have a future in the NHL. I'm just talking about, I don't know where he fits in for the Jets. Now, if you want to start with the one guy that has already been bought out, like, to me, Bobby Ryan, I don't know if the Jets would have interest, but I think Bobby Ryan absolutely still has a future in the NHL. Like, to me, Bobby Ryan, you know, can still give you, you know, I don't know, 15 goals, you know, whether he's playing on your second or third line. Like, he's definitely young enough still that I think a team will pick him up. But again, I don't know if, you know, the Jets work out for Bobby Ryan. But, you know, one guy to me, you know, that I mentioned earlier, Alex Wennberg, you know, is a guy that was really in Torts' doghouse.
Aaron Portsline of The Athletic, let me interrupt you, talking about the possibility, that maybe even likelihood, that Alex Wennberg gets bought out by the Columbus Blue Jackets. So that's why you're mentioning his name, because Portsline has been reporting about that.
And, you know, he was a high draft pick, 14th overall back in 2013, the MacKinnon draft. We were there in New Jersey the year the Jets took Morrissey. And, you know, Wennberg is a guy that has all types of, you know, offensive upside, but, you know, he's 26 years old now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not like you're talking about a 21 or 22-year-old, and his contract isn't really favorable right now for the Blue Jackets. So, again, we don't know if he's going to be bought out, but, like, you know, he's a center. So, again, I'm not saying that, you know, he solves all the Jets' problems, but, you know, you wonder, you put Wennberg between Laine and Ehlers, or you put, you know, Wennberg between, you know, Connor and Laine, you know, whoever the combination is, and I would have a little bit more interest in a guy like that just because of the skill level. But some of these other guys that we're talking about here, you know, Brendan Smith, like, you know, third pairing defenseman at this point, and he's not like an above average third pairing defenseman either. So if there's a player like a Kevin Shattenkirk that becomes available, then I would say, yeah, the Jets should go after a guy like him. But, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the Jack Johnsons, even though, you know, Pittsburgh might not buy him out, you're not exactly talking about players that are, I think, you know, that appealing to Chevy.
Admittedly, none of these guys are going to be a panacea or going to be guys who necessarily get you over the top. But if you're looking for a buy low candidate, Dave, mm-hmm. on a guy who, you know, for whatever reason, it hasn't worked out in the city that they're currently in, and it's going to cost the Jets nothing but money, and probably not a lot of money, because, you know, most buyout candidates aren't signing, you know, additional contracts for $2 million. They're looking at, you know, maybe $1 million, maybe, you know, the league minimum even in some cases. If you're the Jets, I would have to think that you might at least, you know, kick the tires when you see some of these names and see if you can, you know, you take advantage of the market and get somebody for nothing.
Well, I mean, it's all about depth and it's all about augmenting your roster. And I think you both have points. I think Ezzie's right that none of these names are, you know, that we're reading about are names. Bobby Ryan's an interesting candidate, but, you know, they're not jumping off the page and you're saying, oh, the Jets absolutely have to lock one of these guys up. But if you're talking about a guy who can, you know, when we talk about it often in terms of, you know, in a perfect world, you're going to have this as your roster. But we don't live in a perfect world, and your roster is never the same from day one. Even on day one, how many times do we see guys get in? I mean, look last year. Sure. Ryan Little suffered that concussion in the final exhibition game of the season, and Andrew Kopp ended up playing second-line center for the first 10 games of the season.
And it derailed Brian Little's entire season. I mean, obviously he comes back, then he gets the puck in the head. And
for sure.
Everything else. But, you know, his entire season was a lost cause, and it started with that concussion in the final exhibition game.
Right. And I'm just saying, though, so the best laid plans, you know, don't always come to fruition.
Right.
And so you could expect to have, you know, this ideal roster on day one and expect to be in the Stanley Cup Finals with that same ideal roster. The likelihood of that happening, as we know, isn't great. I mean, look at Tampa Bay, right?
Sure.
You have Steven Stamkos, who, you know, is one of the best goal scorers in the NHL, and he's played one game. So it doesn't hurt to be a team that has depth. And again, just quickly using Tampa as an example, Zach Bogosian Well, look, he's not playing right now, but he's come in and he's helped them out.
He played, you know, what, 16, 17 games during the Stanley Cup?
And he played 22 minutes one game. So, I mean, like, I'm just saying, like, it doesn't hurt to kick the tires.
Right. And, you know, again, just looking at the list that Marat put out, I mean, I think, you know, back to what we were saying before, that's just, again, me. Kyle Turris, to me, is not, you know, the solution for the Jets as a second-line center. And they don't need him as a third-line center, obviously. So,
but why don't they need him as a fourth-line center?
Well,
I mean, why, you know, you just insulate David Gustafson. Mm-hmm. If you think Gustafson's going to be your fourth line center whenever the season starts, you just add a layer of protection, and if it means that you get Turris for, you know, a low contract and he ends up sitting in the press box, so be it. Or if you have to send him down to the Moose, so be it. I mean, what do you have to lose by?
Well, center depth is a good. No, I yeah. don't disagree with you. I mean, I think to Ezzie's point, he's not your second line center solution.
Definitely not. No.
But the reality
is, he probably wants to be paid like a second-line center.
He can't expect to be paid as a second-line center at this point in his career.
What is Kyle Turris going to ask for?
Kyle Turris would be lucky given the performance that he had in Nashville. I would say that he'd be lucky to get, what, $1 million? After if he gets bought out?
I think that's pretty low for Kyle Turris. What's he coming off, 4.5?
His existing cap hit is $6 million for the next 4 years.
He's going to go from 6 to 1?
If nobody else is going to sign him, who's signing him to big money right now? Well, he's still getting a portion of his buyout.
There's still teams, though, that need to get to the cap floor, though, I'm sure.
Fine, but nobody's going to sign. Nobody's buying out a guy. The Predators aren't buying out Kyle Turris, and then he's going on the market and saying, I'm worth $3 million a season. I mean, who's paying him $3 million?
Well, I don't think he's that good.
That's my point.
He was a healthy scratch on Nashville. I don't know why you're rushing to make him your fourth line center, but
I'm rushing to make any, not him. I'm rushing to get players into the roster, on the roster, that can insulate the younger players if you think that's the solution.
I think Zach Smith is one of the guys for me as a fourth line guy that you could definitely get for around $1 million.
Sure.
A few years back, he scored 25 goals for Ottawa. So you think of Zach Smith, and you're like, oh, he's not going to do anything. But he's actually exactly, I've said this before on the show, I think the Jets do need a veteran on the fourth line. And obviously, you know, you had a guy like, you know, Nick Shore, who's a veteran, you know, a little bit younger than Zach Smith. But to me, that's what you need, right? Like, we've talked about, you know, the need for the Jets to get their, you know, Casey Cizikas, or get their Cal Clutterbuck, that type of player, you know, that can give them a little bit more minutes on the fourth line. I'm just saying, I mean, sure, maybe, you know, the Jets are able to find that guy. I just, on that list, there's nobody that really excites me. Yeah. You're right, though. I mean, you use Kevin Shattenkirk as an example. I mean, Shattenkirk might be a guy the Jets look at. I mean, he's going to get a big raise, right? Because he was making, I think, $2 million a year. He's probably going to get around $4 million, right? I don't know exactly how much. Mm-hmm. But the point is, yeah, I mean, maybe the Jets are able to find that guy and give him a one-year deal or a two-year deal, and he ends up, you know, playing a key role.
Yeah, Shattenkirk, yeah. I'm just saying there's options available that if the Jets feel the need that they want to go bargain basement hunting, and I'm not saying these are the solutions. These guys are definitely not the solution to their problems and the holes that we've talked about ad nauseum since the season ended. Mm-hmm. But you can always, you know, find somebody. You maybe get some value out of it for a low price. It's worth considering just to give yourself a little bit of a fallback option if your ideal plan doesn't play out to fruition.
You're absolutely right. I don't think Dave or I are going to disagree because, I mean, we know 2C is the big, you know, hole right now, right? And we know, you know, top four defensemen on the right side and left side mm-hmm. is a big need for Chevy. But a third-pairing defenseman, a veteran third-pairing defenseman, and, you know, a veteran either fourth-line center, fourth-line winger is also on that list. That's why Chevy has a lot of work in front of him. He knows that. And, you know, that's where you're going to find, you know, your fourth-line winger or center, or you're going to find your, you know, veteran number six or number seven defenseman. It's going to be, you know, off of the scrap heap.
Absolutely right. When we come back, our UFA of the week is defenseman Alex Pietrangelo of the St. Louis Blues. A lot of interesting discussions happening there regarding the structure of his next contract and if it's going to be in St. Louis or if it's going to be otherwise. We'll also take a look at the Odd Shark inbox. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturdays are for the Curve on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Alex Pietrangelo found himself on Frank Cervelli's trade bait board, and you may ask why. I mean, he's a UFA on October 9th. Why would you trade for him? Well, you trade for him if you're a cap challenge team that thinks that getting the eighth year in that contract will make that much of a difference on the AAV. And certainly, if the Blues cannot break the stalemate with Alex Pietrangelo I do believe that they will entertain offers on a sign-and-trade involving Alex Pietrangelo.
TSN Hockey insider Pierre LeBrun discussing Alex Pietrangelo, the potential of him being traded ahead of becoming a free agent, much like the Montreal Canadiens did earlier this month in trading a fifth-round pick to the St. Louis Blues, those same St. Louis Blues, to acquire Joel Edmondson and then signing him to a four-year contract. Some talk that a team might be interested in doing similar, a sign-and-trade with the Blues to get that eighth year for Pietrangelo. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live here on TSN Radio 1290. We'll take a look at his UFA market coming up in a moment, but first, let's look at the Odd Shark inbox presented by Odd Shark, your source for the latest odds from leading authorities. Find your edge at oddshark.net. So let's go to our at Illegal Curve Twitter feed. Corey K says the Jets need a veteran, but not an over-the-hill veteran like in years past. A valid point there by Corey. Kate says if the Jets are going to trade Line A, they need to get what Philadelphia got for Mike Richards or Jeff Carter, going way back in the Dry Island. The Dry Island in Philadelphia, going way back into the archives with that one. They need to get prospects, picks, and young guys who are on the cusp of being a top six player. Need to take advantage of the market. Jets need to stop trying to band-aid their problems with waiver guys. Thank you to Kate for contributing that comment regarding a potential Line A trade. And then Ronnie says the Jets should be interested in Bobby Ryan. He was bought out yesterday, of course, by the Ottawa Senators. Instant upgrade over any winger in the bottom six, plus a great human perseverance story. Agree with that. He would be great in the room. Thank you to everybody who's contributed their comments. You can do so at Illegal Curve on Twitter or via text message. Send your texts to 129090. Facebook and Instagram posts, your texts, your tweets, we find them in the Odd Shark inbox. And remember, oddshark.net is your source for the latest odds from leading authorities, expert editorial content, and detailed matchup picks. Find your edge at oddshark.net. If you're looking to make a wager in the next 8 minutes, I suggest you place your money on the University of Kentucky, plus the points against Auburn. That starts at 11 o'clock this morning on TSN 1. I am wearing my Kentucky sweatshirt. Go Big Blue. Sorry, that was an aside that I decided to throw in there for my own personal benefit.
Hey, we have no problem with that, especially if Laura's listening.
Yeah, she's definitely not. She's, I think, at the park with the kids. But I'll tell her afterwards that that you gave her a shout-out.
Yeah, I'm an honorary fan, right?
Yeah, you're an honorary fan, except for in March Madness when you deliberately antagonized both of us to cheer
Wichita
against
State,
Kentucky.
Right? I think it was Wichita.
It was Wichita State. Yeah. And for the record, Kentucky won both times against Wichita State. But, yeah, you were on the do not call list for, at Pyle's Mandela household. Let's talk about Alex Pietrangelo and his possibility of him hitting free agency. It seems more than likely at this point that he is going to become that unrestricted free agent. Darren Dreger reporting, earlier in the week, or maybe it was last week. Sources say contract talks between the Blues and the Blues captain, Alex Pietrangelo, have broken off. The team has advised Pietrangelo to pursue unrestricted free agency. What does he get? Is he going to get that $8 million a year contract for the next 7 years, especially given the uncertainty with the salary cap and who knows about revenue coming into a lot of these teams? Is this just a case of Pietrangelo, you know, bad place at a bad time given the financial realities of the world, or is he still going to get paid?
Yeah, no, he'll get paid because he's an elite defenseman. He's an elite defensive defenseman, and he's an elite offensive defenseman. And, you know, the advanced statistics will back that up, right? And, you know, he finally gets his Stanley Cup last year, and, you know, he was fantastic this year as well. You know, St. Louis just didn't have it this year. So, you know, it looks highly likely that he's going to be a UFA, even though Jeremy Rutherford did say that there always is the chance. You know, you think back to Steven Stamkos, guys, a few years back. That was maybe 3 or 4 years back now. But, you know, we all thought Steven Stamkos was going to hit the UFA market. Mm-hmm. Not saying that, you know, they're completely the same situation, but they're obviously both elite players. So Pietrangelo most likely, as I said, goes UFA, and there's going to be interest, right? Like, we know the Leafs are going to have interest. There's going to be a bunch of teams, especially teams that have the cap room. And not only that, but you're going to have teams that would move out a player to make room for Pietrangelo, right? Like, he's that type of player. Like, for me, I would say he's a top 10 defenseman in the league. So when you're talking about top 10 defensemen, yeah, you'll trade someone or you'll not sign someone else that maybe you were thinking of signing, you know, to get Pietrangelo in your lineup. You know, I do wonder a little bit about, you know, the 7-year contract, though, right, guys? Like, you know, we know that when you give a 30-year-old or a 31-year-old, you know, that 7-year deal, you know, 3 or 4 years into the deal, it doesn't look so good, right? Like, you think of Brent Seabrook. Now, Petrangelo is an excellent defenseman, but so is Seabrook, right? Like, you go back to those three.
So was Seabrook.
So, right. And, you know, he's older now, and he's, and injuries have caught up to him, but, you know, you look at those three Stanley Cups. Yes, Duncan Keith was the best defenseman for the Blackhawks, but right behind him was Seabrook. So all I'm saying is that, you know, Petrangelo might want 8 years from the Blues, and that's what, you know, was being discussed with the sign and trade, right? Like, maybe, you know, clearly this is the last big payday, guys, for Petrangelo, right? Like, he wants, I would assume, a minimum 6 years.
If you're the Blues, though, Ezzy, and Dave, I want to get you in on this one, too. If you're the Blues, it sounds like both sides, the money isn't really necessarily the issue. Both sides are within the ballpark, you know, around $8 million a year. But according to an article on ESPN.com that talks about it, apparently it's the structure of the contract that is really being, that's causing the hang up right now. Petrangelo wants a no movement clause, and he wants there to be a signing bonus built into the latter years of the contract, which would mean a cash payout if the contract was to ever be bought out. Mm-hmm. And these are two things that Doug Armstrong, Blues general manager, has never done before. He does not, he gives out no trade clauses. He doesn't give out no movement clauses. And he's only got one player on the entire Blues roster, that with a contract that contains a signing bonus, and that's Ryan O'Reilly, who signed that contract with Buffalo.
Yep.
So if you're the Blues, and I know everyone draws these lines in the sand, and this is the hill I'm going to die on. Is it worth dying on this hill, or you're better off getting Petrangelo under contract?
Well, I mean, just think about how good he's made your team for so many years, and what he could do for your team moving forward. Now, I'm with Ez in the regard to saying, you know, he's an older defenseman. And, you know, look, if you're a team that needs to win in a short term, then maybe you bite that bullet and know it's gonna cost you in year 4, 5, 6, 7. But if you've won one or two Stanley Cups, do you really care at that point what the ramifications are?
No.
And that's kind of the attitude. Look, you can be risk adverse, and we get that. A lot of teams, a lot of GMs are, they don't want to get burnt. And so they don't make decisions because of that. But at the end of the day, you kind of have to be a little bit aggressive and be willing to make some moves and take some risks. And we see that get rewarded with the GMs. Like, again, like I said, it might cost you. But, you know, in order to gain something, you have to have a little bit of pain. And again, a Stanley Cup or two is certainly going to be worth it if you get burnt, you know, in the latter years of that kind of deal.
Which, when the Jets signed Blake Wheeler to that big contract extension.
That's right.
People thought, okay, you know, the last couple of years of that contract might not look so good. But if he's brought the Jets a couple Stanley Cups beforehand, who cares at that point in time?
And
very quickly, as
right. And obviously St. Louis has their Stanley Cup. But I agree with Dave, like, Doug Armstrong's playing hardball. He's one of the top GMs in the league for sure. But if you're going to give anybody a no movement clause, wouldn't it be Petrangelo? Like, that's your captain. Mm-hmm. It's the best defenseman. And the way I look at it, if you lose Petrangelo, which it looks like they will, I mean, you can't replace him. There's nobody on the UFA market. I mean, all due respect to like a Torrey Krug. Torrey Krug is not Petrangelo. And we don't think that Krug is going to sign in St. Louis, but I'm just saying there's nobody on the UFA market. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anybody on the trade market. Like, there's only 10 guys that are in, you know, that Petrangelo category. He's one of the best.
Yeah.
So all I'm saying is, by losing him, you're taking a step back.
That defense certainly does not look nearly as good without Petrangelo on the back end.
And like Justin Falk, the money they gave him, to me, just didn't make any sense.
$6.5 million a year after they acquired him from Carolina. Time will tell. Free agency opens on the 9th of October. We'll have it covered for you all day long, and of course everything to do with the Winnipeg Jets here on TSN Radio 1290 and on illegalcurve.com. When we return, Craig Button, TSN Director of Scouting, is going to join us to look at the upcoming NHL draft. Hour number 3 up next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number 3 of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN Radio 1290. Alongside Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us via text message. Send your text to 129090. Standard messaging rates do apply. And our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome back to the program TSN Director of Scouting Craig Button. The NHL draft rapidly approaching. No one better to talk about the draft than with Craig Button. Easy for me to say. Craig, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How are you?
Very well, Craig. I appreciate your time and insight, as always. You know, Craig, what's most fascinating to me about this draft is that, you know, normally we enter a draft season and we have ample information and ample reports and ample opportunity to watch players, certainly in the first round and then in the second, third, fourth, you know, all the different tournaments, all the different playoffs that happened. And this year, none of that happened, you know, obviously COVID related. How much more difficult will the scout's job be this year, particularly when it comes to some of those players in the later rounds that they may not have seen as often as they would in a quote-unquote typical season?
Well, number one is that every team is faced with exactly the same challenge. You know, the league's all shut down at the same time, and nobody had an opportunity to see these players any more than any other teams from that point on. But I think most importantly, it gives every team an opportunity to evaluate their scouting process. And, you know, whether it be injury, you know, and we see players get injured all the time during their draft year, or in this case, a worldwide pandemic, you know, you're trying to build a dossier on the players. And, you know, it doesn't happen just in March when there's playoffs or tournaments going on. It's building up, and what you're doing is you're just adding to that dossier as time goes on. Now, it's important. It adds to that dossier. It gives you more information, you know, as players get into those situations. But the simple fact of the matter is you didn't have that opportunity, but nobody had that opportunity. So now you got to go back, and you got to evaluate. Okay, how did we evaluate these players at other points in other critical tournaments? Whether that be at U16, whether it be at U17, whether it be at U18. I mean, they played playoff games before. I mean, Caden Gooley's a really good player. I mean, how did you evaluate him last year as the Prince Albert Raiders went to the Memorial Cup? You know, and, you know, you watch and you have to, you can't go to a game. I don't believe you can ever go to a game and not take the opportunity to evaluate every single prospective NHL player seriously. Because if you don't, you're failing as a scout. And I think that NHL teams have to evaluate their own processes. And then, you know, obviously in time, we're going to see who had the process, whether it be with really good local coverage, whether it be with really good previous coverage and building your information and your data on the player. We're going to find out who those teams were. Because, you know what, there's no hiding now. You're going to select players, and we're going to see who had it in order.
Craig, we want to get to some players that could possibly be options for the Winnipeg Jets with the 10th overall pick, but I wanted to ask you about the second overall pick, because unless something shocking happens, we expect the New York Rangers to take Alexis Lafreniere with the first overall pick, but it's basically between Quinton Byfield and Tim Stützle for that second overall pick. How, in your opinion, how close do you think it is between those two players for LA?
Well, I think you can throw Jamie Drysdale in there as well, a right shot defenseman who I think is going to be a number one defenseman in the National Hockey League. And I'd love to be able to tell you that I think Byfield's going to be better than Stützle, or Stützle's going to be better than Drysdale, or Drysdale's going to be better than both of them. I'm not smart enough to do that. What I can tell you is that they all add significant attributes and qualities to a team. They're high-level players. I just talked about Drysdale as a number one defenseman. Stützle, he's always played center before this year in the German Professional League, where he played left wing. He's an elite offensive player who has a style of play like Patrick Kane. Then you have Byfield, who to me is like Kopitar. Okay, so you tell me. Like, you want the right shot defenseman who's a number one. Oh, by the way, LA has Doughty there, who could really mentor him. You want Byfield, who reminds me of Kopitar, or do you want Kane, or do you want Stützle, who reminds you of Kane? You guys tell me who you want. Who's the best player? Is it the Doughty type? Is it the Kopitar type, or is it the Kane type? I wish I could tell you.
Can the Kings make two draft picks at number two?
Yeah, well, that's you know. Let me say this because you're going to hear a lot of this over the next weeks. Best player available. Oh, really? Well, tell me who the best player available is then. Just tell me.
That's why nobody we ask you, Craig.
Well, I know, but I can't even tell you. Unless your name is Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby or Mary Lemieux, that's best player available. But when you get into this next group of players, I don't know who the best player available is. I know who I mean, we put a number beside them and we sit down and we go, okay, I like Stützle just a little bit better than Byfield, you know, a little bit better than Drysdale. But if you guys told me, hey, listen, I think Drysdale is the best of those three, I can totally see why you would say that. And that's what NHL teams go through. It's not like, that's next guy. It's not like that. It never has been like that. And anybody that talks like that has no idea what they're talking about. But I hear it all the time, best player available. Yeah, guess what? It's often the people that never worked with a team that don't understand the process. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. So I think my belief is get players in the right grouping. Get players who you feel are in the right grouping. That's what I mean. So if we're talking about a group of five players and we say, okay, what does this player offer? What does this player offer? What does this player offer? Okay, what do we like? What do we think the development path is? Or how long do we think before he's contributing? Do we have the players? It's all those things that go into it. And then just celebrate who you're drafting. And NHL teams don't worry about this. Oh, well, he's the next best player available. We're going to bypass him. No, they don't do that. It's not how it works. So what I would say is, if I'm the LA Kings, I'd be considering Jamie Drysdale because I'm looking at a right shot number one defenseman who could learn and mentor under Drew Doughty. And keep this in mind. This applies also for Kopitar or Byfield, who I think is like Kopitar. So you have Kopitar and Doughty, who have been two outstanding players in the National Hockey League for the Kings. Long-term contracts. They're getting older. You know, so you can ease those younger players in, and as those guys get older, still with the same cap hits, you got those younger players that are ready to assume a greater role, and now those guys aren't asked to do as much. So that's why I would consider Drysdale or Byfield in that spot at two. Those are the two guys that I would consider. I don't know what the Kings are considering those two guys. They could be considering Stützle and Perfetti, for all I know. But I'll tell you this, they're not going to go wrong with Stützle or Perfetti at two. You just can't.
TSN
like,
Direct.
I think it's impossible to go wrong at two. We could put five names in a hat and pick out one, and you can't go wrong, I don't think.
These are good problems to have. TSN Director of Scouting, Craig Button, is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You're listening to TSN Radio 1290. Craig, a player of interest to me is Cole Perfetti, you know, coming off a tremendous year, a mere 111 points for the Saginaw Spirit in the OHL. Do you see him long-term more as a center, or do you see him more long-term as on the wing?
I see him long-term as a winger, and I think I think he's similar in style. And I use style, but obviously I'm going to use great players that are outstanding players to describe his style. I think he's got a style like Artemi Panarin. He can score goals, but he can make plays. You know, he's that player that isn't gonna race up and down the ice and dazzle you with all these fantastic moves with speed or overpower you with a shot. But you watch, he has the puck lots. Yeah, he's in and around the net. He makes plays. He finishes plays. And I think he's just an exceptionally smart player. I think he's the smartest player in the draft. And when I watch him play, I always come back to this. He beats you up with his mind. And then he's got the requisite skills to do that. I think he's superb. I think he makes players around him better. I think he takes advantage of playing with really good players. And, you know, it's that, to me, that equation where, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts of Cole Perfetti. And I think that applies to him, specifically. And also when you get him on a team with other players, it just becomes better when he's on it.
Well, you know, Craig, we're a Winnipeg-based show, and we like to ask about Winnipeg prospects, and we're actually having Seth Jarvis on in about 15 minutes.
So I think Craig knew it was coming.
It's a good time to ask about Seth Jarvis. You've isolated him as a player who could be available to the Jets at 10th overall, but regardless of whether the Jets take him or not, what has impressed you most about Seth Jarvis?
Oh boy, there's lots of things about Seth, and you know, I compare him to Braden Point, and so okay, let's watch what Braden Point has done here, and you know, and I think Seth, like Braden, has this just this quiet, determined confidence about him. You know, okay, stop me if you can. I'm not going to stop myself. There's so much to love about Seth Jarvis. And, you know, you have this player that's got this fantastic hockey sense. And he's versatile. You know, when he played for the Hlinka-Gretzky team last summer, you know, he didn't play in an offensive role. And he's capable of killing penalties. He can play on the wing. And I think he's got this fantastic deception in his game that really keeps opponents off balance. You know, when it looks like he's going to pass, he shoots. When it looks like he's going to shoot, he passes. He knows how to open up the game. He knows how to open up the ice. You know, I was really fortunate to work with the Dallas Stars when we had Sergei Zubov. And Sergei Zubov, who is now in the Hall of Fame, you know, never went end-to-end and everything, but he controlled the game, and he controlled it with his mind. And I think that that's what Seth does. He makes you think he's going to do one thing, but he's got so many other options. And then he's able to execute on what he feels is the best option. He's competitive. He doesn't allow himself to be denied. And once he becomes more physically mature, he's going to just be that much harder to deny because of his smarts. He makes his wingers better around him. I think he's going to be a real top-end point producer in the National Hockey League. And when you watch that player play and you watch how every team tries to approach trying to stop him, he's a problem solver. He sees what the problem is, and then he solves it. And if you can't do those things in the course of a game, you're not going to have a chance to play in the National Hockey League. And that's what Seth has. And I think the only thing he needs is time. The only thing he needs is time. And once that occurs, you know, he's going to be a really good NHL player. And so now we talk about the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, I'm not one of the, like, I don't think you can fill your present needs through the NHL draft in the vast majority of cases. But again, I go back to this. You have a group of players, and you're looking at a group of players, and like I said, you know, there's not this idea of the best player available, but you can say, geez, we need to add more skill in the middle of the ice, and we need to have this, we'd like to have this player in our prospect pool. Now, if you got the right group of players, now you can say, okay, that's the guy we're taking. I think for the Winnipeg Jets, when you have Mark Scheifele, you have Adam Lowry, you have David Gustafson, who I think really are terrific third-line centers. Now you need that second line guy. Boy, Seth Jarvis coming in and playing behind Mark Scheifele. I think it would be an absolutely great fit for both Seth and for the Winnipeg Jets.
Craig, a lot of people right now are excited about Yaroslav Askarov playing for St. Petersburg right now, and he might not be an option for the Jets, but we wanted to ask you about him. He's the consensus top goalie available in the 2020 NHL draft. Also catches with his right hand, which I think is really interesting because it's very rare. So shout out to guys like Grant Fuhr and Tom Barrasso, Craig. I know you'll like those ones, but how high do you think he could go? Are we talking about, you know, in the kind of 10 to 15 range, or could a team maybe even take him higher?
Well, I have no doubt a team could take him higher. And, you know, it comes down to, you know, like, if you want a goaltender, and I mean, I think he belongs in the group of players we just talked about. I think he belongs in the discussion with the top 10, 11, 12 players in the draft. And, again, if you want the goal, I think he's going to be a franchise goaltender. I think he's going to be a star goaltender. And, you know, so if that's what you want, take him. There'll be no eyebrows raised if he goes 5. There'll be no eyebrows raised if he goes 10. I mean, he's in that group, and you start to look at him. But, you know, you watch, like, he's the best goaltender I've seen entering the draft since Carey Price. And the athletic ability, the hockey sense, the determination to be a really good goaltender. I watched him practice at the World Junior Championship after, you know, he had had, you know, some struggles. And to watch him go out and understand what was happening, and to watch him go and work on that, because he knew he had to be quicker and he knew he had to be faster because the game was faster. But, you know, we see goalies at the NHL level run into struggles at different points in time because of the adjustments they have to make. What I want to see is those goaltenders that go and work at making those adjustments. I saw that with Askarov. I've watched him excel for 2.5 years, excel. Like, and I'm not talking about just play well, dominate, win, everything you want in a goaltender. So You know, you want a franchise goaltender. Everybody talks about how you need a top-end goaltender, and if you want one, you better draft one. And if you don't draft them, I mean, Vasilevsky went in the 19th to the Tampa Bay Lightning. Where would they be without Andre Vasilevsky? You know, where would the Montreal Canadiens be without Carey Price? Remember, the Montreal drafted Carey Price when they had Jose Theodore. So, again, if that's the guy you think is the player that fits for you, and you've done the work with the grouping, take him and celebrate it. Don't worry about anything else. Because remember, Montreal was criticized quite harshly for drafting Carey Price that year at number 5.
Our guest is TSN Director of Scouting Craig Button. The NHL draft coming up in about 10 days or so time. Craig joins us to talk about the draft and its prospects.
You know, Greg, one player who may be available for the Jets at 10, we're not 100% sure, obviously, is Jake Sanderson. And, you know, if you look at the Jets' prospect depth on the left side, you've got Dylan Sandberg, Ville Heinola. Jake Sanderson would certainly be a nice player to add into that prospect pool. What can you tell Jets fans about Jake Sanderson's game?
Well, you got Sandberg and Heinola, who are really good players, who I expect to be on the Winnipeg Jets next year, along with Josh Morrissey. So, Jake is an exceptional skater. His dad was a fast skater. Jake is a different type of skater, as a defenseman. He's got fantastic ability to gain that leverage defensively, to beat the forecheck, to beat pressure, and to defend. And, you know, I know at any point in time, there's always a discussion about certain players, about what more they may have in their game. I see Jake as a top pair defenseman. I don't see him as a top end offensive producing defenseman. But I can tell you this: if you don't get the puck out of your zone, if you do not join the attack and be part of the transition, if you don't know how to get the puck to the right players that can score goals, you're not going to create offense. And Jake contributes in all those areas of the game. And you know, he's competitive. He's competitive in every single regard. And I think he's going to be a real terrific defenseman, maybe in the Mark Edward Vlasic role. Well, mold. But if you look at what Mark Edward Vlasic has done in his career in the National Hockey League, he's been an incredibly important defenseman to the success of the San Jose Sharks. Another player I would compare is Jonas Brodin of the Minnesota Wild. You need those players, and those players are critically important to a team.
Craig, we have just one last question for you. Another player that could be an option for the Jets, as you mentioned, there could be 15 different players that are options for the Jets at this point because it's a really deep draft. But center Hendrix Lapierre of Chicoutimi, he was ranked, I believe it was number 10, if I'm not mistaken, on your March Craigslist. And I read that you think he's the best two-way player in the draft. We obviously don't know if the Jets are considering him at number 10, but why would he fit in as a number 10 pick for the Jets?
Well, he reminds me the way he plays a game of Patrice Bergeron. And, you know, he had his injury challenges this year, and that happened. So the last time that Hendrix played was last November. But, you know, that's probably not the right word to use, but one of the unique things about this year's draft is not only when it occurs, but next Friday and next Sunday, Chicoutimi opens up the Quebec League schedule with Hendrix Lapierre and Dawson Mercer playing together for the first time in a regular season game. I can guarantee you, there will be many NHL scouts at that game watching those two players, watching Hendrix Lapierre to see where he's at, because, you know, you haven't had the opportunity to watch him. You have to be satisfied on the medical report. That's something that becomes significant. But when Hendrix has been healthy and a player, he has been an outstanding two-way player. And every square inch of the ice, the way he plays the game, the way he understands how to contribute with and without the puck, offensively, defensively, I think he's superb. And I think if he was healthy, if he'd been healthy throughout the course of the year, he'd be a top five pick. I have no doubt about it. And so I think at 10, 8, 7, I mean, teams have to do their work on Hendrix Lapierre, both from a medical standpoint and, as I just pointed out, you're going to have an opportunity to watch them. And, you know, how much weight you put into that, you know, you have to be careful with that. But at the same time, it's still an opportunity to watch him and Dawson Mercer, who to me are certain first-round draft picks. Now what teams are trying to do is, you know, gain greater confidence in saying, that's our guy.
A draft like no other and a season like no other. Craig Button is TSN's Director of Scouting. Craig, appreciate your time and insight. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Always my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure, Craig. Take care. Thanks so much. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the trades and the signings in the past week in the NHL. And still to come, Seth Jarvis is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Big thanks to Craig Button for having joined us to talk about the upcoming NHL draft. Great insight as always. In case you missed any of that, we'll have it available in the podcast. That's available at illegalcurve.com and also on TSN1290.ca. This segment of the show brought to you by Bernstein's Deli, official deli of Illegal Curve Hockey and home of the Illegal Curve Sandwich. Located in the Cordon Village Mall, Bernstein's Deli has been Winnipeg's deli destination for over 30 years. For more information, find them on Facebook or at bernsteinsdeli.com. As the Cup Final certainly winds down, it's getting to be a very busy time in terms of signings and trades and buyouts and all that sort of fun, silly season things that start. We got a couple minutes before Seth Jarvis is going to join us. Let's start with the trade between the Florida Panthers and the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins acquired defenseman Mike Matheson and forward Colton Sevier in exchange for Patrick Hornqvist. Matheson is signed for another 6 seasons at an AAV of $4.8 million. Sevier is in the last year of his contract. This coming season will be $1.2 million. Hornqvist, who's had injury problems as of late, 3 years remaining at $5.3 million. I don't fully understand how this trade makes the Pittsburgh Penguins a better team than they were before.
Yeah, I absolutely think that this trade is better for Florida. I don't think any of these trades really have made sense for Pittsburgh, right? So you're talking about the Nick Bjugstad trade to Minnesota. I'm forgetting the other trade. Oh, the Kasperi Kapanen trade. I mean, to me, that's a better trade for Toronto because they get the first round pick, right? So I don't know if any of these moves, these three moves really make Pittsburgh better, but I understand from the Pittsburgh perspective, right? Because Mike Matheson is a guy, you have the cap certainty, even though I think a lot of people were surprised that Florida gave him that 7-year deal at the time because of the cap hit, right? So you're clearly getting a puck-moving defenseman. Like, Mike Matheson can move the puck. He can skate. He's a really good skater. And he's a guy that, you know, definitely has, you know, some warts defensively. He's not the best defensive defenseman. Like, the numbers will tell you that he has, I think, even a negative impact defensively, but he's a guy that can play on the power play. So I have to ask the question, like, is Matheson a second pairing guy or a third pairing guy? Like, I have less of a problem with the move if Matheson is a third pairing guy, which I think he will be on Pittsburgh, by the way.
The Penguins have something like 8 left-handed defensemen right now on their roster.
Right.
And which, last time I checked, is a lot of left-handed defensemen.
Well, and you know, I don't mind Pittsburgh's defense. Like, Justin Schultz isn't coming back, right?
But, right.
Like, I like John Marino. I like Marcus Pettersson. Obviously, Chris Letang isn't going anywhere.
Well, so there was talk that he was earlier.
I hope they don't trade him, because if they do trade him, they're not going to be better next year unless they get a defenseman of equal value. So, but Patrick Hornqvist, even though, you know, he might be a little bit older, I believe he's 32, 33 now, you know, and he has 2 years left on his deal.
Three
years left on his deal.
Yeah.
And the cap hit's fine. Like Hornqvist can give you 20 goals, no problem. Like,
I think it's the injury concerns that are the big...
Yeah, and sure, there's always those injury concerns, you know, but with a guy that's had that many miles on him. But, you know, Hornqvist is a guy that I think replaces some of the offense you're maybe losing with a guy like Mike Hoffman, who's a UFA, right? I'm not saying that Hornqvist and Hoffman are the same type of player. I'm just saying Hornqvist is a guy that, you know, he's had multiple 20-goal seasons. And even though maybe his best years are behind him, he's a good power forward, you know, can be a good guy in the locker room, give you the leadership skills, all that type of stuff. So, yeah, I like to trade more for Florida. And all these moves that Pittsburgh's making is not giving them any more cap room, and that's what they need.
That's what makes it all the more bizarre. That Hornqvist trade, you know, he's so mad about the trade, apparently, that he threw his Penguins equipment out on his driveway. He just took all of his Penguins gear, and apparently, according to published reports, took his Penguins gear. He was so mad, he just threw it out on the driveway for anybody to come by and get. So obviously a player with a significant chip on his shoulder as a result of how everything ended up in Pittsburgh.
Well, and also, he's got the Stanley Cups. He's been there for, what, 5 or 6 years? So, I mean, he likes playing in Pittsburgh, and I mean, it's not that bad to go to Florida, to be honest, Patrick.
An emotional Patrick Hornqvist, certainly, upon learning about the trade. When we come back, Seth Jarvis is going to join us. He expects next is hear his name early at the upcoming NHL draft. He's from Winnipeg. He plays for the Portland Winterhawks. He joins us next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
A little past the bottom of the hour. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. Alongside Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us here via text message. Send your text to 129090, where standard messaging rates will apply. And, of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is available at illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We're pleased to welcome to the program Seth Jarvis. You know Seth, of course, as a member of the Portland Winterhawks, born and raised here in Winnipeg. He's expected to hear his name at the upcoming NHL draft, early, I may add, at the upcoming NHL draft. Seth, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Our pleasure, Seth. I want to ask you about, you know, how this situation has been for you. In that, you know, it should have been many months ago now that you would have heard your name called at the NHL draft in Montreal. You get to be on the floor at the Bell Center, walking up onto the stage. And, of course, we know that isn't going to come to fruition. Instead, it's going to be a virtual draft. And all the sort of pomp and circumstance that goes with the draft and being a draft pick won't necessarily be there this year. So how have you been handling the past few months where normally you'd be preparing for an NHL training camp, but instead you're still waiting to hear your name called at the draft in about 10 days' time?
Yeah, it kind of sucks just because it's been a few months overdue, and obviously going into Montreal and kind of spending your time there and going onto the stage and kind of getting that picture with the commissioner and the team you get drafted to is kind of everyone's dream. But I think you're getting drafted nonetheless, and it may have came a few months later, but this way I get to spend it more with my family. So it's going to be nice to kind of be around people who supported me and just kind of spend it at home.
Seth, this past season with the Portland Winterhawks, you had a great year, 98 points, third in goals in the WHL, 42 goals. Looking back, how would you assess this past year for you with the Winterhawks?
Yeah, I think I'm super proud of it. I think my first half of the season was a little bit slow. I wasn't playing the best hockey I knew I could, and I think when kind of the calendar turned and gone to the second half is when I really turned it on, and I started playing at the level I knew I could, and my numbers started to take off.
You know, Seth, the 2020-21 WHL regular season isn't scheduled to start until December at the earliest. So what does a typical day look like for you?
Right now, it's just kind of training in the morning, just trying to get everything done around lunch, whether it's getting into the gym and the ice or just the gym, just trying to spend my time there, especially during the morning, just get it over with. And then the rest of the day is just kind of up in the air, whether I got into golfing, so I've been doing that a lot, or just hanging around my buddies. Just kind of trying to get all the training stuff, all the important stuff done in the morning, and then just have the rest of the day to kind of do what I want.
What's more frustrating, the training or becoming a golfer?
Definitely becoming a golfer. Yeah, that's been a work in progress for a while now.
You know, Seth, have you given any thought to what it would be like to put on a Winnipeg Jets jersey if they call your name with the 10th overall selection?
I have, but I also don't want to look that far ahead because it's been a while coming. I just want to kind of focus in on every day and the kind of present moment. But, obviously it would be a huge dream of mine. I think growing up in Winnipeg, when the Jets came back, that automatically became my favorite team and I followed them religiously. So it's been awesome watching them growing up. And I think, if I ever got the chance to throw on that jersey, I'd be incredibly proud and super, super happy to represent, not only my family, but also kind of Winnipeg.
Seth Jarvis is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Seth plays for the Portland Winterhawks. He, of course, is from Winnipeg, expecting to hear his name called in the first round of the upcoming NHL draft in about 10 days or so time. You know, Seth, we when we talk to draft prospects and after they get drafted, we always ask them, you know, who, either a current NHL player or a previous NHL player, do you try and model your game after? Do you have a specific player that you sort of tailor your game to and use as a mentor, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, I've been trying to model my game after Braden Point on Tampa Bay. He's just he's someone who's a little bit of a smaller player like myself, but he still finds a way to really impact the game and really leave his mark every game he plays. So I think the way he can play offensively but still be trusted in the D zone and kind of all around the ice, he's someone that if I can become the player he is, that'd be amazing.
You know, Seth, as Drew mentioned earlier, it's obviously, you know, much different than, you know, previous years in terms of, you know, not only the draft being virtual, but, you know, no combine as well. You know, have you been doing a lot of Zoom calls with NHL teams? Like, what's that been like for you, you know, over the last couple of months? Like, have you been, are you allowed to share how many, you know, teams you've been in contact with? And I imagine a lot of that would either be on the phone or Zoom.
Yeah, it's been super busy. I think the first couple months, at the start of quarantine is when probably was the busiest, just all the teams kind of reaching out around that where the combine would have been at that kind of time, just reaching out and kind of communicating with me, talking to me, just getting to know me. And then there probably went a good 2 month stretch where it went a little bit quiet. And I think, everyone just kind of backed off for a little bit and just kind of focused in on my training. And then this past probably three weeks, it started to pick up again, just with teams contacting me and just getting a feel of where I'm at and stuff like that. So it's been entertaining. It's been good. I've met a lot of great people and a lot of NHL legends through these kind of meetings.
Now, Seth, what areas do you think you have to improve on in the next year or two to get yourself ready to be an NHL player?
Yeah, the big one for me is my body. I got to get bigger physically. I think everything, just strength, speed, explosiveness is all what I've been kind of focusing on these last couple summers, and just getting my body really prepared to play against men and be able to be impactful when I get to that level. So it's been a lot of training my body and just getting it ready for an NHL schedule and playing against men.
You know, Seth, what does that mean when you say training your body? I mean, obviously, you know, we understand that means gym time and that means, you know, working out with a trainer. But, you know, for our audience and certainly us who are not professional athletes, you know, what does that sort of training look like to try and change your body and become physically stronger? What, you know, take us through an average workout for you.
Yeah, a lot of it for me is explosiveness. So whether it be doing stuff with resistance, with resistance straps, and just trying to get out of a standstill as fast as possible, or working with sleds or treadmills, and then obviously putting on muscle mass. So being a smaller guy, you kind of need those kind of tree trunk legs you hear about. So a lot of squats, a lot of single leg stuff, just trying to get a better core, better stability system, and then just working with the upper body, just a bunch of different exercises you can really do just to try to put on muscle mass up around my shoulders. And then a big part of it's nutrition, just eating right and getting the right stuff in your body. I think when you kind of combine those two, it works out well, and I think they go hand in hand.
Well, Seth, you obviously played with quite a few other Manitobans. I think, if I'm not mistaken, there were 5 Manitobans on the team last year. Dante Januzzi is a guy who we've had on the show before, and Joel Hofer, of course, who had the incredible performance for Canada at the World Junior Championships. What's the Manitoba connection like there in Portland?
Yeah, it's unreal. I think there's a good chunk of us there, and I think it's always good when you can be around guys you know, and you can kind of grow up with, so you already kind of start with that chemistry. And I think we all take pride in being from Manitoba. And I think just when you're kind of around them, you can tell we look out for each other. And whenever anyone kind of talks bad about Manitoba or anything like that, we're always there to defend it.
We like to hear that. You know, Seth, you were one of 45 players invited to Hockey Canada's virtual national junior team summer development camp in late July. How did the camp go for you, and what would it mean for you to represent Team Canada at the 2021 World Junior Hockey Championships in Edmonton?
Yeah, it was awesome. I think no one really knew how it was going to run, just because it's completely different than anything they've done before. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was awesome. We covered a lot of stuff and just kind of made a ground base just for starting the selection process and starting to kind of pick the team for the upcoming World Juniors. And it would mean the world to me if I was lucky enough to make that roster. I think it's something everyone dreams of, just watching that tournament at Christmas and imagining yourself playing in it. So the fact that I have the opportunity to try out for that team, it's incredible.
Last question for you, Seth. You know, obviously you're a member of the Portland Winterhawks, and it's one of the preeminent junior hockey teams in Canada. You know, you got Mike Johnston as your head coach and your general manager. You got a guy like Don Hay as your assistant coach. You know, obviously Andy Moog is the goaltending coach with his litany of experience. What's it like just being able to sort of absorb the hockey knowledge that those guys and the rest of the coaching staff bring to you on a day-in, day-out basis?
Yeah, like you said, the knowledge is incredible. I think you can't find very many people more knowledgeable about junior hockey and about what to expect when turning to pro than those guys. So whenever you kind of have a question that you want to answer or anything, they're great about just being approachable and just being able to go up to them and ask them, and they'll give it to you straightforward and tell you how it is. So they've been incredible for me, and not only for me but my teammates for sure. Just being able to be someone that you can bounce questions off of and know you're going to get a good response and get and just gain knowledge no matter what, whether it's doing video or just talking to them in general. There's always stuff to be learned and always ways to find new stuff out, and they're a great way to do it.
Seth Jarvis is a member of the Portland Winterhawks. He's from Winnipeg. He expects to hear his name at the NHL Zoom draft coming up in a couple weeks' time. Seth, all the best to you. Good luck with the upcoming draft, and thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Take care, Seth. All the best. When we come back, one final segment, we continue our look around the NHL. We talk more about tonight's Game 5 between the Stars and the Lightning. Much more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast.
On TSN1290.ca.
Here's Zaitsev and scores! Bobby Ryan has the goal in his first game back in Ottawa. 31 seconds after Brown, Bobby Ryan has his first since October 2nd.
One of the highlights of this past year, Bobby Ryan returning to the Ottawa Senators lineup in that emotional game, back in the lineup and getting that hat trick. Certainly not a lot of bright spots for the Ottawa Senators this year, but that was a bright spot for the Sens and for the league as a whole. And the Senators bought out Bobby Ryan's contract today. So, you know, everything that was good must come to an end. But yeah. I think Bobby Ryan's probably not that upset that he gets a chance to maybe make an impact on a better hockey team, a hockey team that might have a chance at making it to the playoffs whenever that is actually going to begin. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturday morning, we're live here on TSN Radio 1290. This final segment of the show brought to you by our good friends at Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey. For over 30 years, Rumors has been bringing the Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Tonight at Rumors and then next week at Rumors, Pete Zedlacker is going to be in town. One of my all-time favorites. Pete is top-notch funny. Get your tickets at rumorscomedyclub.com. And just announced John Doerr, legendary Canadian comedian, television star, television host, John Doerr, making a return appearance to Rumors. That's coming up. Be sure to get your tickets soon for that. He's coming November 10th through 14th. And I just want to make note, social distancing, all that, all the protective equipment, that's all in place at Rumors. So, you know, obviously we're in COVID times, so, you know, keep that at the forefront, being safe, being healthy, being, you know, wearing your masks now, taking all the necessary precautions, and they're doing that at Rumors Comedy Club. RumorsComedyClub.com.
Yeah, and again, last night we ran our ICOT pool, which is sponsored by Rumors.
It is.
And again, we had no winner.
No winner.
Right? And I thought, you know, maybe somebody would take Kevin Shattenkirk. I think there might have been one person that tried to sneak one in after Shattenkirk. We always have one or two guys that try to think that we're going to be fooled, and yeah. And they pick the guy that already scored.
In their defense, if there's any three guys who are going to be fooled, it is us three, you know.
Drew, I wouldn't say that. You're the one who's in charge of the ICOT pool.
I readily admit that I'm easily fooled. That's what I'm saying.
But I'm saying essentially it's you.
Yeah, but I'm also willing to throw you guys under the bus as well.
I've known you guys for long enough. I'm withdrawing myself from said bus.
You know,
even though I believe who created the ICOT pool? I think it was me.
Is Big Daddy taking credit for that?
No, he pointed at me.
He pointed at you?
That's right.
Oh, okay. Well, who knows? Who can remember that far back? Anyways, let's talk about some of the other.
I can, and not only can I remember it, I used to have to handwrite. We used to get I honestly want to say we used to, not thousands, but we'd get lost. So many.
What did you have to handwrite?
No, I used to have to write down all the people who voted and stuff like that, and it was just like, oh my god.
What do you
god.
Mean? You just picked whoever picked the correct.
Yeah,
right, but you had to keep track of everybody submitting.
Dave, there's something called Microsoft Excel that really does a great job.
This is back in the day.
But if today has proven anything, it's that Dave, who's been having computer problems for the last 3 hours, might not have the most up-to-date technology.
I just picture Dave like with his quill pen and and his candle.
Alexander Hamilton over here writing letters back and forth. Anyways, let's look at some of the other moves in the NHL.
You know what would be nice to get a postcard once in a while? Nobody sends postcards.
Nobody goes anywhere right now. Who's traveling?
Actually,
that's a good point.
I got some nice Okamic Markshaft postcards. I'll send you one.
Please send one to Ezzy. Ezzy wants a postcard.
I have an uncle who now lives in Arizona. He used to live in California. I used to always send him postcards, and he'd send me a postcard back.
Isn't it weird?
I like the postage. I like to lick the stamp.
Okay, well, that's unusual. But
that's COVID in a nutshell right there.
The idea of a postcard, you're putting something that everybody's reading. The mailman's reading it. The
it's
person who's processing is reading it.
Maybe there's something that like covers up the message.
Well, that's called an envelope.
Yeah, that's just called a letter at that point in time. You could take your postcard if you were that concerned about your security there, Dave. You could take your postcard, stuff it in an envelope, and all of a sudden you have a letter.
You think the mailman actually did that? Like actually read other people's postcards?
I would if I was a mailman, for sure. Be like, this is interesting. Where's it coming from?
And that's why you're not a member of our trusting Canada Post.
Newman.
Newman, exactly. Okay. Jeff Petrie signs in Montreal, signs a four-year
great
extension.
Yep.
Great contract. Go on.
Well, I think he could have got more on the open market.
Okay.
I mean, Petrie's a really good defenseman, and, you know, you look at what they've done bringing in Joel Edmondson, who's probably a third-pairing guy for them, but, you know, you've got Shea Weber, Ben Sherratt in your top four there, you know, Victor Mete. I mean, they've got a good group of defensemen, and, you know, Petrie's how old? 32, 33 years old. I mean, he's an older defenseman, but they didn't give him 7 years, right? Like 4 years is fine with me. I just really like him. And, you know, you look at his offensive production, consistent 40-point guy, right? He can give you 10 goals, 40 points every year. Could there maybe be a little bit of a drop-off in a couple of years? Maybe. But he's physical. He could kill penalties. I mean, we saw him score that big overtime goal. Was it against Pittsburgh?
Yeah, in the qualifying round.
Yeah, so I mean, he's a really good player, so I like that contract.
You know, this is a case of a player and a team just fitting well with each other. Because remember, he came over from Edmonton.
Yep, for nothing.
For nothing, you know, maybe a draft pick. And when he was on Edmonton, he wasn't anything great to speak of. He was fine. I mean, the Oilers certainly...
Although everybody in Edmonton is right now lamenting.
Of course.
Not having him.
Oh, yeah. Of course. They think that, you know, if only we'd kept him. But, you know, maybe this was a case where he wasn't going to reach his full potential in Edmonton. I'm not sure.
Well, that happens with players.
It does happen. He certainly has fit in seamlessly with Montreal. And he shores up, to your point, Ezzy, a pretty decent Canadiens back end. Calgary Flames, they announced that they're taking the interim tag off their head coach, and they made him the full-time head coach.
Mm-hmm.
But they only give him a two-year contract. Is that almost a vote of non-confidence in only giving him a two-year deal?
Yeah, well, and you're referencing, I mean, some of the coaches that have been hired recently. Laviolette, I believe, got a five-year deal, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, 2 years, you maybe expected it to be at least three, maybe give him that extra year. But I agree, maybe, you know, you could have gotten that extra year, but... It's hard for me to put myself in Brad Treliving's shoes, but I did think Jeff Ward did a good job with Calgary, you know, in a really tough, you know, position, you know, after everything that happened with Bill Peters.
That's it for the Saturday edition of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN Radio 1290. Big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Zappia Group Realty. Support these fine local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. The show will be available for download on iTunes, on Google Play, wherever you get your best podcast. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us, let us know what you think of the show. Big thank you to Sean Asor back at the studio doing a great job. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on your home of the Jets, TSN Radio, 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.